Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
If you believe in the future of renewable energy, especially nuclear, you're going to love this interview with Azincourt Energy, because CEO Alex Klenman, who's on the screen right now, has been calling for the rising price of uranium ever since we first started talking to him, where it was about $50 per pound. It moved to over $100 per pound earlier this year and is now sitting around $87, $90 per pound. So he's been dead on nails. And why is that? After a decade-long slump, uranium prices are rising, partly thanks to a global shift in support for nuclear energy, and that's caused rise in demand. Uranium funds are recognizing that. They're raising hundreds of million dollars to buy uranium. And what I really love here is the staggering growth of AI. That demands the power only uranium and nuclear can deliver. That's because the unprecedented explosion in AI, and we're all using it right now in one way or another over the last 12 months, is only matched by the explosion in AI's computational requirements. And let me put that into perspective for you. Over the past decade, the amount of computing power used to develop AI models has increased by a staggering factor, you're right, of 10 billion. And right now, the amount of computing power used to train AI is now doubling every 6 months. So where will AI get its energy demands? Well, we've got a clue, because if you just listen to me and Alex, you might say, you guys are biased. You know, you're conflicted. Well, how about Microsoft hiring on a nuclear technology program manager? And in the job description, they specifically say they're looking for a principal program manager who will be responsible for maturing and implementing a global small modular reactor and micro reactor energy strategy, specifically with nuclear. Hey, who are we to argue with Microsoft? Azincourt controls a majority 86% interest in the 20,000 hectare East Preston Uranium Project. And this is all you need to know about that. It's located in the Athabasca Basin, Saskatchewan, where the world's leading source of high grade uranium and currently supplies about 20% of the world's uranium. That's the neighborhood it's in. And recently, Alex said, if you're hunting for a uranium deposit, this is what you need to see. We continue to be well within a practical discovery timeline. The company considers drilling results to date to be significant. That's what we're here to talk about. Brand new program being launched, drills being mobilized. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me, George. Always great to be with you. And your intros are second to none.
Hey, I appreciate it, but you make it easy, my friend. Yeah. You make it easy because you got some good things happening. And before we talk about the specifics about your press release, let's talk about the macro environment, because you hit that dead on nails from the day we first started talking. Yeah. What are your views generally on the macro environment, prices, demand, and even the impact of AI?
Yeah, no, well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, the supply deficit that we're seeing and getting to manifest itself has been called for years. So it certainly wasn't me. I was listening to others who are far more intelligent than I am in this space. But the reality is, let's just go to recent news. Cameco and Kazatomprom, the world's two largest producers, both in the last 3 or 4 months have put news out that they cannot and will not meet their own production estimates. That's 30% of the world's market right there in uranium supply. And the two largest producers are unable to even meet their own expectations. The supply situation is it really is. So where do we go? Why did it back off? So 100, almost 110. And it's now in the 80s. These are healthy. Between 2004, 2003 and 2007, when spot went from $7 to $140. There were six different episodes, if you will, where the equities backed off 25 to 60%. So we're seeing that. The equities are you get a lot of people who exit. They assume this is like any other commodity where maybe a rogue state dumps material into the market or whatever drives the price up, and then suddenly rug gets pulled out. It can't happen. Uranium is probably, if not the most tightly traded commodity on the planet for good reason. And there's just the supply deficits are real. I mean, all the reactors coming online, reboot of reactors, planning of reactors, all of this needs steady supply. And we don't have it. So this is good for everyone in the space, and the need to bring new deposits online to make discovery is at an all-time high.
And that thesis has been around for a while, like you said, a lot of smarter people than us, but you know, you put your money where your mouth is. So I got to give you credit for that. But we never really took into account AI, right? No. And this massive new source of demand, not source for nuclear, but a source of demand. How do you, you know, how do you size that up and how excited are you about that? Because AI is not a fad. I know at Agoracom, we've incorporated AI and we're incorporating it very strongly. Mm-hmm. It's here to stay. It's going to grow. Is that a real big catalyst that you didn't expect? Sure. And how excited are you about it?
Well, obviously there's the need for power. You've got to find it. You need safe sources. You need the ability to deliver it in economic ways. Nuclear provides that. But you've got the increased demand from the explosion in AI, but you also have electric vehicles that are also going to be pulling off of grids. There's power that needs to be generated for that. And if that continues to grow at the rate it's growing, these are very impactful things that power grids are going to have to deal with. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it. This is the way to get it. And I think more and more nations are getting on side. You're seeing it in Europe. You're seeing it elsewhere. And again, I think we've got 3, maybe 4 years ahead here, which is going to be something special. The challenge is the behaviors with investors and play the markets. They're used to other things. They want things to happen fast. And I know people who sold their uranium equities just because spot backed them, ignoring cycles in history, ignoring the fundamentals that has nowhere to go but up. The new floor at $80 or $85 means that the upside here is going to be, you know, 120, 140, 150. It could be as much as 200 by the time we're done. There's still a lot of contracts that need to be signed for long-term supply, particularly the U.S. Producers. So this is going to be a great run, and people need to look at what's ahead of them and opportunity that we have in this space. I recently had a conversation with someone who's been in this business, both on the buy side, the sell side, yellow cake, and buying for utilities and selling producers. 50 years he's been in this business, and he said he's never seen anything like this. There's never been a setup like this. So I'm listening to people like that, and I think that should all take note.
Well, listen, we're not ordering pizzas around here, right? I mean, it would be great if all the uranium could be found today and we could sell it all tomorrow and shareholders could cash out this weekend. But that's just not the way it works. But this is why these aren't so important. By the way, we're not making no financial advice here, no claims. But what we're doing is providing investors with the right information they need in order to make their decisions at the end of the day. That's what you're doing. So Azincourt, I read that quote, you know, about East Preston, during my intro, where, you know, again, you say you're well within a practical discovery timeline. For new people who are going to be tuning in for the first time, broad strokes, we don't need to get, you know, deep into geology. Okay. What do you have? And then we're going to talk about, so save that for my follow-up. But what do you have then? I'll have a follow-up question as to what are you doing within 2024?
Got it. So I got involved with Azincourt back in 2017. So not a new uranium company. Been plugging away here for almost a decade. I've been the CEO since 2017. Over that time period, gone from, you know, geophysical surveys, sampling surveys, to drilling, to ticking off the boxes. So when Trevor Perkins, our vice president of exploration, he's the chief geologist that we have, he's made big discoveries in the basin. He's evolved quite a while. So, you know, we have uranium experience at the helm. That's important. Investors have a lot of companies right now that they look at that have named uranium in their title, but if they don't have a uranium experience, particularly on the geological side, it's not that simple. But when Trevor got involved, he said, listen, we're going to do a couple things here. We're going to look for alteration packages, and we're going to chase these packages. These are geological terms indicate environment. The environment is right for uranium deposition, for uranium deposits. So we found the alteration packages. 2023, we found clay alteration. All of this with enriched uranium values, nothing off the charts, but enough to tell you that uranium, enriched uranium has been flowing and moving through these packages. You need to find where they pool, and you need graphite and some other things to, in the neighborhood, but you definitely need the clays, illite, dravite, kaolinite. These are very important clays. Now we've run into those clays. If you can picture a bullseye, the outer ring of a bullseye is the hematite alteration. The inner ring of that bullseye is the clay alteration. And then the target, obviously, is uranium. So we're now drilling into those clays. F3, well-known discovery in 2023, ran directly into dravite and these clays before they hit the ring. So we're optimistic. We're also realists. These things take time. We've been big package, 1,800 meters of alteration to explore, not 200, not 100, 1,800. So somewhere in there where these clays are, where the right geochemical and the geophysical setup is, it resides, that's where the uranium fluids will have dropped uranium. We know that the fluids have been there.
I'm going to quote your VP of exploration, Trevor, Trevor Birkin said, following up the clay alteration is a high priority. This alteration is what would be expected when a uranium deposit is present. Yep. All indications are that we are vectoring on something. A significant number of deposits in the Athabasca Basin have been found by identifying and chasing these types of alteration patterns. So you guys are definitely on to something. Devil's advocate, though. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of this is like treasure hunting, right? Yeah. So there is the risk that you're going to chase something but not find it. But you're in the right neighborhood because that's where so much of the world's uranium comes from.
Well, let's just go back to my comment about new companies entering the space now that have packages of land that are near other deposits or discoveries or have conductors on them. It takes years to find what we have found. One way to describe it is, you know, we have our tires on, we're on the track. There's a lot of companies that are in the pits right now putting the tires on the vehicles before they get on that track. We're 3-4 years, 5 years ahead in terms of exploration than a lot of these grassroots plays that are out. And so that's important, because if we weren't seeing hematite alteration, we weren't seeing enriched uranium values in there and the clays, that would be a problem. But we're seeing them. And when Trevor laid out his plan, when he came to the company, he said, first, we're going to do this, then we need to see this, then we need to see that. We've been going directly on that line. We haven't deviated. So it's not as fast as we want. And I've been here since 2017 waiting for discovery. And I've been a shareholder even longer in Azimuth. That's how I got involved with Azimuth. But here we are. It'd be a different story if we didn't see these clays, if we didn't see what we see. So I'm not suggesting the next hole is going to be the big hit, but you can't really have the big hit unless you've done what you've done, and that bodes well. So we're headed in the right direction. Doesn't happen on the quick timeline that everybody wants, but when you speak of timelines, these things can take a number of years and a lot of holes, 100, 200 holes sometimes. Very few do it in less. You get the odd first 10 hole discovery, it happens. There are companies out there that have done that. Good for them, better for everybody when that happens. But it also creates different expectations on timelines. And as I mentioned, we are well within expected timeline here. Patience.
So how much are you spending, and not to get, again, too geological, but how much are you spending and what kind of timeline are we looking at for this upcoming drill program?
Right. Well, we broke ground over the weekend, so the drills have started to turn. I would encourage people to follow our Twitter feed. We put daily updates on that at Azimuth Energy or Azimuth. I don't even know who Twitter fans.
We already have it at the bottom of the screen. Oh, it's already there.
Okay. Thank you. God, I'm getting old. We try to post something every day from the ground to tell people those are and just sure to the site. So that we're underway. We could spend up to $2 million here. We'll see how it goes. We'd like to, we're targeting some of these clay alteration packages. You have a number of them to test. In a perfect world, I could spend $10 million on one drill program. Like, you know, the funding's not there. So we have, you know, we have enough capital in the company to keep it running. We've got, you know, $2.5 million in hard dollars. We've got $1 million+ flow through. We're spending flow through. It's a drill. And, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen. I mean, I'm an optimist. It's my job to be positive. But I would be, I'm also a realist. And I know that if we didn't see the clays, didn't see this enrichment, this uranium enrichment within the alteration packages, and, you know, it's a different story. We wouldn't probably be spending the money. So we're happy. And we're going to keep pressing forward.
And what is the cadence? What's the cadence look like? So you broke ground this weekend. Yeah. Give us an idea. I know you can't be specific because it's not, again, we're not ordering a pizza, but give us an idea of you broke ground, how long that'll take, when drill results start coming back. So we kind of have a timeline of what the next, I don't know, 2-3 months look like.
Yeah. 300 to 350 meter holes. So they'll take some time. We're down about 190 on the first hole. We broke ground on Saturday or Sunday. So here we are Tuesday, about 190 meters. And things will continue to flow in that direction. So probably 2 to 3 weeks of drilling. And then we wait for results. Now, you know, it's hard because sometimes you want to put out an announcement immediately when you see something in a core or get a reading on one sense, or you see something that looks outstanding. We won't do that. We're going to be super careful and methodical here. We're going to make sure we know exactly what we're reporting. So it could take a couple months for all that to be accumulated. But certainly, you know, that's the timeline here. By early summer, we should have the results.
And at that point, are you doing a bit of a regroup analysis?
Yeah.
If you like what you see, you've got more ready to go?
We have no shortage of targets. We have 25 kilometers, almost 30 kilometers of conductive packages on the property. We're only in the center, basically the center trends. We've got multiple trends that we can test. So we're just in the priority area now, but in a year or two, we could have several other priority areas to drill into. That's the great thing about this project. We're bordered to Orano and NextGen, so they're billion-dollar neighbors. Really, it plays well once discovery's made and some type of resources. This is the plan we're on. We need some things to happen, obviously, but it's a good plan.
When do you think ballpark will be having you back on to discuss? Are you gonna release? You're not gonna release one hole at a time.
No.
So you'll be releasing, you know, three holes at a time. And if so, ballpark, when do you think we're gonna have you back on? Because this is it. This is go time.
Yeah, we're in April. I would hope, you know, maybe towards the end of May or June we're back. I'm back to discuss what we've seen and what we're doing. So many things can happen. I mean, look at our market cap, 8 million or so right now. Discovery can drive that through the roof. It's almost better, and I've had this discussion with people over the years. Yes, we're all hungry for that discovery hole. But do you want to do the discovery hole? Do you want to hit your home run in a ballpark that's half empty? Or you want to hit it in the first game of the World Series where, you know, everybody's sitting in watching. So that's kind of where I'd like to be. I'd like to be there. And maybe that's when we hit 150 on the spot price. Maybe that's later this year. Maybe that's even next year. I think the impact of making Discover that environment is the amplification of your market cap, the absolute explosion that everybody wants to see and waits for. So would it happen today? I'm sure it would be fun, but really, honestly, if we could pick and choose, let's do it when the whole world's watching. And that might be a little bit down the line here in 24 or 25.
I love the real world analogy, Alex. So looking forward to hopefully you being on one day when you hit that grand slam. And I guess I'm like most investors, we'll take it when we can get it. But you're right. If you can get it when everyone's watching, that's even better. But thanks for joining us today. That's a fantastic update on everything and what's going on.
Thanks, George. It's always great to see you. And I would urge people, again, follow us on Twitter. You get the daily updates. And if you're looking for that grassroots play that might have that explosive moment, I urge you to dig in deep on that.
I love the fact you're asking people to follow you on socials right now. So one, great to see that transition. Two, now you just got to get around to calling it X and not Twitter.
You know, that's right. I keep doing that too. I know. X. Okay,
We all do. It depends on who I'm talking to. I'll look at and say, hey, you should read up on Twitter. And if it's somebody young, I'll say, hey, you gotta see me on X or whatever the case is. But just the fact that I love the fact, all kidding aside, the point is you're on socials. You're trying to communicate on a daily basis. That's the world we live in now. And that's a sign of a great CEO who gets it, rather than just wants everyone to go away every 2 months and come back to read a press release whenever it's out. That's just not the way it happens anymore.
Now, when we have something to say, we make sure we say it. We say it often. There you go.
For everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform, to Alex Klenman. He's a CEO at Azincourt Energy, trades in Canada, AAZ. For our friends in the U.S., AZURF. For those new to the story and you love what you've heard, you want to do a little more due diligence, take a look at the company's profile page on Agoracom, and then go do your deep dive due diligence at the Azincourt website. If you've been looking for a great uranium company, a great junior uranium company, hopefully you discover that today. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.